Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, it is time for us to open our Bibles this morning, and hopefully we will be going deeper and deeper into the Word of God. Every time you pick up this book, it is an opportunity to learn more. Praise God. And you never stop. This is one of those books that you could read for your entire life. You're never done. And there's still so much for us to learn. And it seems like as we go through these scriptures, and in my personal studies, it seems like there's just so many layers. More and more layers all the time. There's more and more subtle nuances to the Word of God. There's more revelations to be found. And I don't mean just in the book of Revelation. There are revelations in other books as well. That's when something is revealed. And there's so much for God to reveal to His people. So I'm thankful that we can open our Bibles this morning. It won't be too difficult for you to navigate today, because we're going to be spending some time in the book of Genesis. Last week, we started our series, Holy Interruptions. And we talked about Abraham and how God interrupted his life for not only his benefit and the benefit of his family, but for our benefit as well. That set in motion a chain of events that changed the world and eventually led to a Savior being born. And that eventually led to us coming to the Savior. That was all part of God's plan that started way back in the book of Genesis. You see, we are limited in our understanding. Our minds are limited. There's only so much we can handle. But God's understanding is infinite, and He knew His plan all the way back here. And so He called out Abraham. He told Abraham to leave the land he was from. And Abraham didn't even know where he was going. But he obeyed the Lord. He believed His promises. And even in their old age, he and his wife Sarah were able to have a son named Isaac. A miracle baby. And from that miracle baby came forth even more miracles. There was a promise that the whole earth would be blessed and that there would be a great seed that would come forth, and that truly has happened. Now we are going to turn to Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to talk about Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Jacob was the son of Isaac, and as we go through scriptures today, we're going to see that Jacob had two amazing interruptions in his life that changed his life forever. Two very important interruptions, two holy interruptions. And remember, that word holy means to be set apart. And when God brought these interruptions to His people, it did set them apart. It changed their lives forever. It changed the world forever. It changed history forever. We will be looking at Genesis chapter 25 to begin with. Before I read even one verse, we need to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come to Thee in prayer this morning. Thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee, Lord, for all that Thou hast taught us. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to teach us new and wondrous things from Thy scripture. We pray, Lord, that Thou would give us the ability to discern and understand Thy word. For we know that without Thy help, we can understand nothing. And without Thee, we can do nothing. But we stand here, we sit here, and for those who are sitting, we are privileged to be in Thy presence. We ask, Lord, that Thou would help each and every one of us as we open Thy word to be firmly focused on Thee. Let our minds be stayed upon Thee. Let us not be distracted here today. But we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that Thou art Almighty God. Thou art the creator of the universe. There is nothing too hard for Thee. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would give us the ability, O God, to comprehend Thy word. Teach us wonderful things from Thy scripture. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in Jesus' name. through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. You know, a lot of times people might think that they have a complicated family. And it seems like in many families, conflict will rise up. There will be fights, controversies, battling out, sibling rivalries sometimes. But I tell you what, Jacob had an extremely complicated family. Right from the very beginning, his life was mired with conflict. As it happened, Jacob was one of two twins. They were far from identical, however. Jacob came out very smooth, and his brother Esau came out very red and hairy. In fact, that name Esau means hairy. So they were very different men. Esau liked to hunt, and Jacob dwelled in tents. And as it turns out, it gets really complicated when parents play favorites, but it probably happens quite frequently. And a lot of times you'll have children who are battling it out trying to be the favorite. I knew what that was like. I grew up with seven siblings, and there are some of them who tried to make the other look bad to win the favor of mom and dad, and then that one would try to make the other look bad. And yeah, especially when they were teenagers. And yeah, that might be why I turned out to be a middle child introvert. I don't want to get involved. But there was a lot of conflict in Jacob's life, and part of that was caused actually by the fact that his mother, Rebekah, loved Jacob, and his father, Isaac, loved Esau. And Esau was loved by his dad, especially because he was able to hunt and provide meat. Isaac evidently really, really loved that meat. So we're going to look at how this all began in Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to see some amazing things that happened in the life of Jacob. Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to start with verse 19 this morning. Genesis 25. And we will begin in a moment as soon as my pages stop sticking. Praise God. Genesis 25, verse 19 tells us, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian." So Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. And of course, as most people did back then, they desired to have children. That's natural. But this was not without complications as well. Rebekah was going to have some trouble having a child as well. Verse 21 tells us, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived." There's nothing too hard for the Lord, and although Rebekah had been barren, Isaac prayed, called out to God, and his prayers were answered. Not only were they going to have a baby, they were going to have two. Verse 22 tells us, "And the children struggled together with her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord." She noticed that it was a tumultuous pregnancy. What she didn't know was that she had twins. Not only did she have twins, twins, but she had twins that were going to have an epic rivalry from the very start. In fact, it started in her womb. Verse 23, "And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels." Again, these were far from identical twins. They were very different people. "And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And of course, that was unusual, because generally the way it worked is the oldest child would have special privileges and rights in the family, in regards to inheritance as well. But we're going to see that it was going to be different with these two brothers. Verse 25, "And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau." You know, as I mentioned last week, names in the Bible all mean something. And many times, children were given very literal names. The name Esau meaning hairy. And Esau later on was also called Edom, which means red, for a couple of reasons. We'll see why that becomes more obvious as we go through these scriptures. Verse 26, "And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." So clearly here we see that Isaac and Rebekah had been married for 20 years at this point when they finally had children. But even from the very beginning, there was a conflict there. You had Jacob who came out, he was grabbing Esau's heel. And so they gave him that name Jacob, which has a meaning too. It means supplanter. And obviously, Jacob, even in the womb, wanted to be the firstborn. But Esau came out first. 27, "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint." You know, sometimes when you're hungry, when you're really hungry, sometimes we're so hungry we think, well, I'm starving to death. That's highly unlikely. We live in the United States of America. It's highly unlikely that most of us are starving to death. But we do feel very hungry sometimes, and then sometimes we feel like we could die. We're so hungry. That's happened. It can be a slight exaggeration. And perhaps it was here for Esau, but obviously he was out hunting and didn't find anything. Came back empty-handed, and he was hungry. He was so hungry that he thought he was going to die. And Jacob was a little sneaky. He came up with a plan. People sometimes do stupid things when they're really, really hungry. Which is why my dad always used to say, never go to the grocery store when you're hungry. Because you're going to buy all kinds of stuff you probably shouldn't. And here we're going to see that Esau did something that he shouldn't because he was so hungry. Verse 30 tells us, "And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom." Edom means red. And he not only came out of the womb red and hairy, but also he was about to do something extremely foolish and sell his birthright for a bowl of pottage. Red lentil pottage. Verse 31, "And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Of course, that birthright brought special privileges to Esau. He was had special entitlements. He was entitled to a better inheritance. He was entitled to a better position in the family. But here we see in his foolishness, he's about to give that up. And I have a feeling he was probably thinking, this doesn't matter anyway because no one's going to know. My dad's not going to know that I sold my birthright. And this is really just, you know, a passing fancy, and it's not going to matter in the long run. I'll still get what I have coming to me. That must be what he probably thought. But the thing is, God saw this. And he saw what Esau did. He saw that Esau did not value his birthright the way he should. And you know what? We as Christian people have a birthright too. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a child of God, you have a special birthright, a special place in the family of God, and a special place in the kingdom of God. We need to regard that very highly. It needs to be valuable to us, and we need to make sure that we do not neglect that birthright that Jesus Christ has afforded to his people, because that birthright entitles you to special privileges and a special inheritance in heaven. Sadly for Esau, he sold his birthright that day. Verse 33 tells us, and Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He did not regard it the way that he should have. It should have been so valuable to him. But we see that's where a lot of the strife between these brothers started, at that incident where Esau was just so hungry and he did not value his birthright. He sold it to Jacob for a bowl of pottage and some bread. That's all he got for it. It's sad when people are willing to give up so much for so little. And it's sad when people are so unwilling to serve the Lord when what we have with the Lord is so valuable. One day people will come to regret that they did not fully embrace their life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I was saying earlier, Jacob's life was mired with conflict and deception. And there were things that transpired that really caused a lot of bad blood between him and his brother. As the firstborn, Esau would have been entitled to a special blessing and a special inheritance from his father Isaac. The day eventually came when Isaac realized that he was getting quite old. His vision failed him. He could no longer see. He was blind. And he knew that his life would soon be over. He wanted to put a special blessing on his firstborn son Esau. But Rebekah loved Jacob, and she wanted Jacob to have that blessing. And you know what? God allowed it to happen. And I believe the reason he allowed it to happen is because Esau despised his birthright. So Rebekah hatched a plan. She had Jacob dress up like his brother. She put animal skins on him to make him furry. She put Esau's clothes on him to make him smell like Esau. And she cooked some meat, some savory meat for her husband, just the way he liked it, and sent Jacob in to present it to his father, who had requested Esau go out and hunt and bring him savory meat. And then the plan was to bestow upon him a special blessing. But Jacob followed his mother's plan, and amazingly enough, Isaac fell for it. He was a little unsure, because obviously it was the voice of Jacob, but his skin felt like Esau's, and his clothes felt like Esau's. So after just double checking and making sure, asking him, "Are you really Esau?" he gave this wonderful blessing to Jacob. And just shortly after Jacob left the presence of his father, Esau comes in with the meat that he had hunted, seeking that special blessing from his father, that special entitlement, that special place he would have in the family, that special blessing. But when he got there, he was informed that Jacob had already received that blessing and he would indeed be blessed. Esau, of course, was enraged by this, and he plotted to kill his brother Jacob. He was so angry. He wanted to kill his brother. So, Rebekah heard about that too, and sent Jacob back to the land they came from, telling him to go find a wife there. And so, Jacob did as his mother instructed and as his father instructed too, and he went off to find a wife. He went to his uncle, a Syrian uncle named Laban. And there he worked for Laban for 20 years. It just so happened that Laban had a daughter that Jacob loved from the moment he saw her, and her name was Rachel. Rachel was not the eldest child, but he wanted to marry her anyway, and he told Laban, "I'll work for you for 7 years. 7 years hard labor if you let me marry your daughter." And he loved Rachel so much that those 7 years flew by and just felt like a few days. But the wedding day came along, and there was a big feast. There was a celebration. But Laban was a sneaky man too. Suddenly, Jacob was about to be on the receiving end of deception. He was about to learn that being deceived didn't feel good. It was the wedding night, the marriage was consummated, and then in the morning he realized that it was not Rachel in his tent, but rather her sister Leah. Laban had deceived Jacob. And, of course, Jacob called out Laban for this. But Laban said, "Since Leah is the oldest, she had to get married first. But if you'll work for me for 7 more years, you can finally have Rachel." And you know what? He did it. He worked another 7 years so that he could finally marry Rachel. This caused a whole host of problems. Because through no fault of his own, Jacob wound up married to a woman, Leah, that he did not love. And it's very clear from Scripture that he did not love her. He never wanted to marry her in the first place. Not only did he have his own sibling rivalry to work through, his own complicated family drama, but suddenly he found himself married to two sisters. And that meant that the sisters had an epic sibling rivalry between each other, which caused a lot of drama. And of course, Rachel couldn't have children for a very long time. She eventually did have two. But there was a big competition between Leah and Rachel They figuring if they have children, they'll win the favor of Jacob. And so, eventually, Jacob had 12 sons. They were Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. But before Jacob was sent on his way to meet his uncle, the Lord interrupted his life in a very special way. Let's look at Genesis chapter 32 and see what happened here. Genesis chapter 32. This happened after. Pardon me, we're going to go to Genesis 28. We'll go to 32 in a little bit. Genesis 28. This happened right after the controversy. With his brother. Genesis 28. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughter of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Obviously, this would have been a frightening time for Jacob. He not only had to flee from his brother, but he was instructed to go to a land he didn't know. He was going to find his family, but he didn't know the land. And on top of that, he was instructed to go and find a wife. Verse 4, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's, and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. It's interesting, too, because Jacob here, he got a double blessing. Not only did he get Esau's blessing, but here as he was going on his journey, he was blessed again by his father right before he left. But here he was charged, don't take a Canaanitish woman as your wife. Obviously, Esau had married a Canaanitish woman, and Rebekah did not like her at all. It grieved her. And when Esau saw that, he thought, well, I better go out and get a new wife. But he just added that to the collection. Verse 7, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife. You know, that's strange behavior. He had a wife that didn't please his mother, so he went out and got another one and still kept the one he had before. Verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And we're going to see this is when there was a holy interruption. A holy interruption in Jacob's life. A very important interruption. In fact, it was the most important interruption he would ever experience. He was on his journey. I'm sure there was a lot of uncertainty in his mind. His mind was likely racing as he went to the land where his family was from. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, And he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Now that sounds strange. Most of us wouldn't want to use stones for pillows as they're quite hard. I have a feeling that he used these stones to prop up something a little softer and then laid his head on that. That's just my feeling. Either that or he liked a really firm pillow. Some people do. But he propped up those stones and laid down his head to sleep. And when he did that, something amazing was about to happen to Jacob. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. You know, something we don't often realize, something we don't think about, is that God's angels are all around us. Most of the time we can't see them. Sometimes they do reveal themselves to people. And you'll notice in Scripture, every time an angel did appear unto someone, the reaction of that person was always fear. That's because angels do not look the way they're often depicted in popular culture, with the long flowing hair, very feminine looking. That's not what angels look like. Angels are very powerful. And as such, when people saw them in Scripture, they were frightened by it. But you know what? Isn't it good to know that these angels are on our side? And of course, we know that the devil has fallen angels as well. In fact, it tells us that 1/3 of the angels left heaven and they followed the devil. People get a little irritable about that, thinking about all the devils running around out there. They get a little scared by that. But just you remember something. There are twice as many angels as there are devils. And those angels are powerful. They're all around us. And in this dream, Jacob had the benefit of seeing these angels. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father. Here we see God revealing himself for the very first time to Jacob. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest to thee, will I give it, and to thy seed. You see, up to this point, Jacob didn't really know the Lord, even though his father and his mother did. You know how you can know that? If you read the story about the deception in Genesis 27, the plan that Rebekah had to deceive Isaac and get the blessing for Jacob, there's a statement in that chapter that's often overlooked, but it's a very important statement. His father asked him how he managed to find the meat so quickly, and his response, and Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Notice that there. He said, the Lord thy God. He didn't identify God as his Lord and his God, but rather the God of his father. He didn't know God on a personal level. I'm sure he heard stories and perhaps had some experiences, but he didn't, there was no depth there. If he had the depth, he would have said, because the Lord our God brought it to me. or the Lord my God brought it to thee. But no, he said, the Lord thy God. But we're going to see that that is about to change. After God makes this introduction to Jacob and speaks to him, we're going to see that there's a marked difference. This changed his life forever. Notice here, Jacob didn't really know the Lord, but the Lord knew Jacob. Verse 14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That same promise that was made to Abraham and to Isaac was now being made to Jacob. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And yes, that happened when Jesus Christ came forth. And we are recipients of that blessing today, for we are able to know our Savior. And we can look back on what Jesus did for us, knowing full well that we didn't deserve it, but he did it because he loves us. That he went to that cross to pay the penalty for our sins, to pay a debt that we couldn't pay and survive, so that we could be set free from our sins. Well, that was all part of the plan, and that is how we, to this day, are blessed. Verse 15, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. God here is telling him, I am with you. I'll be with you wherever you go. I won't leave you until this plan is accomplished. Now, this doesn't mean that Jacob never had any trouble in his life after this. He had a lot of trouble. He had a lot of drama. He had a lot of conflict. But God brought him through it, just as he promised he would. When you come to the Lord, it doesn't mean your life is going to be perfect after that. It doesn't mean that everything is always going to fall into place. There's still going to be struggles in this life. In fact, you will find as you read the scriptures, Genesis to the book of Revelation, you will find that most believers who love the Lord dearly also faced a lot of conflict and struggles in their life. But the important thing is that God got them through those struggles. And so he's promising Jacob, I will be with you. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And that holds true for us too. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He has made us a promise that we have an inheritance to receive. And until that time, he is with us. And eventually, when we get to heaven, we will behold him face to face. Amen. And dwell in his presence forever. Verse 16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. How often has the Lord been close by in our lives and we didn't even realize it? How often has his presence been right there with us and we didn't feel it? You know what? His presence is here right now. I hope you can all feel it. He has promised that wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he would be in our midst, and he's right here with us right now. So I hope you can feel that presence. I hope you can feel his spirit. But so often, God is right there, and people don't even realize it. This was an astonishing revelation for Jacob. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Beth-El, which means house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow. Watch this now. We're going to see a transformation that took place because of this holy interruption. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God."
Amen.
Suddenly, it wasn't just the God of his father and the God of his grandfather anymore, but it was going to be his God too.
Lord.
"And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Oh yes, that was a holy interruption. God changed his life when he had that dream. And God spoke to him, promising to be with him wherever he went, promising that he would never leave him. We have that same promise. And he's our God too. You can have a real relationship with God, a personal relationship with God. You can know him on a personal and close level. You can talk to him. In fact, you can talk to the Lord whenever you want. He hears our cries and he hears our prayers. And sometimes he'll even speak to your heart.
Praise God. Amen.
You don't have to be a stranger from the Lord. You can be close to the Lord. You can draw nigh to the Lord right now. And when you draw nigh to the Lord, he'll draw nigh to you.
Amen.
So, as I was talking about earlier, Jacob met his uncle Laban. He met Rachel. He married Leah and Rachel and was given their handmaidens as well. So, not only did he have two wives, but he had two handmaidens, and they all had children for him. He never asked for any of that. He just wanted Rachel. But he ended up working a total of 20 years for Laban. Laban obviously wasn't the nicest guy. There was a lot of deception involved there. Not only with the situation with his wives, where he was given Leah when he didn't ask for Leah, but he also continued to work for Laban after he married Rachel. He was there 20 years total. And the reason Laban wanted him to stay is because he saw how much God blessed Jacob. Everything he did prospered, just as God said it would. And he tended the flocks of Laban, and the flocks grew. They multiplied exceedingly. And as such, Laban became increasingly wealthy because of Jacob. And, you know, they came up with an agreement for Jacob to stay on after he married Rachel. Laban asked him, "Well, what do you want your pay to be?" And he said, "Well, I'll take the animals that are speckled and spotted, that have imperfections." And eventually it was the ring-streaked ones as well. And all of these animals being born, the strongest ones, the best of them, were speckled and spotted. So he was getting the best animals. And Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times. He kept changing his mind about what Jacob would receive. But whatever it was, Jacob always came out ahead. He always got the best because the Lord was with him. Eventually, it got to a point where it was time. It was time for Jacob to get out of that situation. It was time for him to leave Laban, to take his wives and go back home. Something I'm sure that he had desired to do for a long time, but he didn't know how his brother Esau would react. He didn't know if Esau still wanted to kill him. And that would be a frightening thing, to have a brother who hates you so much he wants to kill you. 20 years had passed, but there was still this uncertainty. He didn't know what was going to happen when it was time for him to go home. We're going to look at chapter 32 now. We talked about how the angels are all around us. Well, look at Genesis 32. What does verse 1 tell us? And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. He was perhaps feeling a little wary and insecure, but there the angels of God met him to reassure him that everything was going to be all right. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, and the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." You know, after Jacob met the Lord, it changed his whole personality. And notice this great humility here, addressing Esau as his lord with a small L, and seeking to find grace in his sight, seeking grace. Yes, Jacob had deceived his brother, and now he was seeking forgiveness. Verse 6 tells us, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Whoa. Well, I'm sure when Jacob heard that, he was a little bit taken aback. He told him, "Your brother's coming to meet you, and he's bringing 400 men. And I'm sure he's wondering, why is he bringing 400 men, a small army?" You know what? We don't know this for sure, but I think at this point, perhaps Esau did intend to do harm to his brother Jacob. And that might be why he was bringing 400 men. But everything would be changed. Everything would be turned around for his benefit, for Jacob's benefit. Verse 7, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two hands, and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." His logic and his reasoning was, if we divide up and they come to one group, at least the others will survive. Verse 9 tells us, and Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham." You know, when you're distressed, when you're feeling frightened about something, the best thing you can do is what Jacob is doing right here, calling out to God in prayer. Prayer changes things. And that's what he's going to do here. And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. He's humbling himself before God, seeking his mercy, seeking his grace, seeking his favor. And this is how we are supposed to come to the Lord when we need something, not in pride and arrogance, not demanding things from the Lord, but we come to him in humbleness of mind with the knowledge that we are not worthy of the least of all his mercies. And yet he has extended those mercies to us anyway, not because we deserve them, but because he loves us. Verse 11, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. He was probably even more worried about his children than he was himself, because the greatest fear of a parent is that something would happen to the children. Verse 12, and thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. You know, it's okay to gently remind the Lord of what he has told you in the past. It's not so much that he needs to hear it, but when you do this, you're kind of reminding yourself too at the same time, and that builds and strengthens your faith. You remember when the Lord has been with you before and you realize he was with me before, he's not going to forsake me now. Verse 13, and he lodged there the same night and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau his brother. He's thinking, well, I don't know what my brother's going to do. I need to placate him with a present. And this was quite a present. Animals were extremely valuable. In fact, when people had large flocks, they were often regarded as being very wealthy. This is what he gathered for his brother. 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams. 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine, and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. This was a lot of animals that he was going to give as a present to his brother Esau. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants. Every drove by themselves and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee and asketh thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, also he is behind us. So he instructed them as they drove these animals. If you come across Esau, tell him all these animals are for him, and let him know that I'm coming. Verse 19, and so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the droves, saying, on this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept of me. And I'm sure that as Esau saw all of these animals coming his direction, he must have wondered, what is going on here? So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons. It's 11 here because Benjamin hadn't been born yet. And passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. They had all gone on ahead. Jacob was left alone, and now he was about to experience that other holy interruption I was talking about. He was there all alone when someone appeared. He thought it was a man at first, but this was not just a man. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. You know, Jacob could not beat this man as they wrestled, but he also didn't give up. He didn't quit. And God is looking for people who will never give up. They wrestled and they fought, and it went on all night long until the breaking of the day. As they wrestled, I'm sure that Jacob's fears faded away. This was what was on his mind, this battle. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." This wrestling went on all night. Finally, this angel of the Lord said to him, "Let me go, for the day breaketh. It's time to move on." But Jacob informed him, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." He was not going to quit until he received that blessing. And you know what? God has blessings for you too. Sometimes we quit too soon. Don't quit until you get those blessings you are seeking. Verse 27, "And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And that's what that name means. A prince with God, or wrestled with God. That's what he did. But he never gave up. And as such, his name was changed. This changed history. And as such, all of his seed after him would be known as Israelites because of what happened here that night when Jacob was all alone with the Lord. This was a holy interruption that changed his life forever, and not only his life, but it changed the course of human history. So, verse 29 tells us, "And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there." Now, that's an interesting reaction. This angel of the Lord didn't tell Jacob his name. But you know what? After he left, Jacob realized who it was. Verse 30, "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." We need to remember that sometimes in Scripture, God would present himself as an angel. We need to understand that God can take any form he wants. And sometimes he would do that. Sometimes when you read angel of the Lord in Scripture, that's actually God in the form of an angelic body, presenting himself to someone, showing himself to someone. And that is what he did for Jacob here that night. Verse 31, "And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh." He was limping the whole way. He'd be limping to meet his brother. which would make it very difficult if he needed to run away. But thankfully, that wasn't going to be necessary. Verse 32 tells us, "Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." Now watch what happens in chapter 33. Remember, Jacob did the right thing. He called out to God. He prayed unto the Lord in all faith and sincerity, seeking God's help, admitting that he was not worthy of the least of God's mercies. But yet he asked for them anyway. And we're going to see that God worked out all the details so that he could reconcile with his brother, whom he had not seen in 20 years. A brother who the last time he had seen him wanted to kill him. Verse 33, "And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost." And yeah, he did that on purpose too. The ones he loved the most were in the back, the furthest away from harm. Rachel and Joseph being the only son of Rachel at this time, before Benjamin was born. Verse 3, "And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother." You'll notice that number 7 in the scriptures a lot. That's the number of perfection and completion. And so he bowed himself to the ground 7 times in recognition of God fully completing his promise. Verse 4, "And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." Jacob didn't know exactly how this was going to go, but this was the best possible outcome. You see, God is able to heal broken hearts. He's able to take away anger. He's able to take away strife. He's able to take away conflict, and he is able to change our hearts. Not only did he change Jacob, but he also changed Esau. And suddenly, Esau had no desire to harm his brother. I don't know what his intentions were traveling with those 400 men. But you know, maybe his heart softened a little more as he got closer to his brother. As he saw his wives and the children, I'm sure his heart got softer as the moments passed until he finally got to his brother. Verse 5, "And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, Who are those with thee? And he said, The children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, What meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." He's asking, what are all these animals for? What is this? And Jacob's telling him, These are a present for you, so I can find grace in your sight. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. Verse 10, and Jacob said, Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. Why was it so important to Jacob that Esau take this gift, which he also called a blessing here? I'll tell you why. It's because Jacob had stolen Esau's blessing, and now he wanted to restore what he had taken, and so it was very, very important that he share the blessing that God had bestowed upon him with his brother. That's why it was so important that Esau take this blessing. Esau didn't get the blessing he wanted from his father Isaac, but here we see he did get a blessing from his brother Jacob. And that's because Jacob's life was interrupted. It was changed forever. After he met the Lord and he had that personal relationship with God, his life was changed forever. He was a humble man and a generous man, a hard-working man and a faithful man. That is what happens when God comes into your life and changes everything. Oh, he had his struggles to face. He had his conflict to face. But remember what it tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Jacob certainly was called by the Lord, and even though he had so much trouble and conflict in his life, God was able to turn all of it around and use it for good, and he's able to do the same for you.
Praise God.
I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning and thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for all that we could learn of thee, for the many lessons we find in thy word. And we pray, Lord, that thou would be close to us, that thou would reveal to thyself to us deeper and deeper each and every day. Help us, O God, to have a flourishing relationship with you, a bountiful relationship. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless each and every person who is here today. Bless those who are listening online. Bless thy people who are scattered all throughout this world. And help each and every one of us to continually walk by faith. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We are going to open our chorus books in closing. Praise God. We're going to turn to number 116 in the chorus book and sing It Is No Secret. Number 116.
Secret.
Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.